B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Indulge us here as we talk about the Sixers with the man who covers the Sixers for The Athletic. And his name is Rich Hoffman. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fans. Rich, I don't know if I have a question to ask you as much as you have a feel. You see what this team is about. What's your feel right now? What are they?
A lot of blah, Mike,
A lot of blah?
Yeah, okay. I mean, to be fair, I mean, they're coming off a tough performance, and in some ways, I think you can kind of throw out that game because, look, the Sixers have not even been in the same stratosphere as the Bucks. So if they don't have Ben Simmons, I mean, they're going to get killed. Mm-hmm. The Bucks kill pretty much anybody. But to be fair, they have not been in the same stratosphere as the Bucks. And I think what you saw in that game, you know, Al Horford right now, like, let's not mince words. He's playing bad, terrible, you know, and that hasn't really changed. Embiid, I think, you know, it was good to see him against the Clippers and then against the Nets play really, really good basketball. But that's two in a row where he's put up an offensive clunker against Milwaukee. And, you know, I think he's had some success against the Lopez twins in the past, but that concerns me, you know, if you have to add them to the Marc Gasols of the world where he struggles to score against them. So, yeah, I think right now we're just kind of waiting on the Ben Simmons news because, honestly, you know, even with all the other stuff that's concerning, you know, I think you can't really proceed forward until you know what the deal is with him.
Yeah, what are you hearing? Now, what is it that they have to check, the extra test after they're seeing the MRI? Is that bad news or is it just precautionary?
You know, sometimes it was mentioned to me, and this is just like, talking to people, maybe you had to see a spine specialist and that took another day or something like that. I would imagine, and I do not have any additional info besides what the Sixers have given out. They're pretty good at keeping it tight. I would imagine by the end of your show, they will announce something because they like to do that right before games.
Okay. So let's, there are three different stories here. One is that he did it in practice. The other is that he slipped on the floor in the All-Star game. And then there's the Instagram stories that he posted where he jetted off to the Caribbean islands and it was engaging in some horseplay on a boat. So what's the real story?
So just from seeing that All-Star game, I know he did slip there. That seems kind of hard to believe because he continued to play in that All-Star game and look pretty darn athletic. I can't imagine he would have been doing that horseplay in the Caribbean if that was the case as well. You know, it's hard to know. I mean, I think, honestly, my question more than how he did it, because, you know, Brett Brown is on record saying that he participated in a really hard practice Wednesday before they came back from the All-Star break, and then he hurt himself. My question is, why was he playing the other night? You know, if the ESPN sideline reporter said that he, you know, was going to go back to the locker room. That was the plan throughout the night.
Every 5 minutes or whatever.
That doesn't sound like a situation where he should be playing. Just the idea of backs being tricky. Like, you know, I'm not a doctor by any means, but backs are notoriously kind of tricky things to get under control, so I don't understand why the caution wasn't used there. I mean, part of it, Mike, could be that he just had 9 days off, or he only played during the All-Star game in the 9 days, and he is playing a ton of minutes, and that time off, in a way, might have screwed with his back a little bit. I don't know the exact answer for you, but those questions are going to be asked tonight.
Okay. Now, let's look. I get the anti-Ben thing, and it looked like Embiid, like, mentally checked out of the game because Ben wasn't there either, thinking they have no chance to win. But let's look at some guys that the Al Horford thing is interesting because you're around the team. What do you think is going on?
I mean, I just think at a very basic level, he cannot play with Joel Embiid. And that's it. Like, and I think, you know, I think a lot of the focus was the entire starting lineup. Do they fit together? No, just those two. They cannot play together. They do not score enough points. And I think, you know, even if Ben does come back this year and the back injury is only, you know, a kind of a couple week thing or whatever. That's his main running partner. And I think, just in general, like, yeah, he doesn't fit with Embiid, but that's no excuse for how he's played. He is, I looked at his stats from last year. He shot 61% from two last year. He's almost down to 50% on twos this year for a big guy. I would imagine there is some sort of age decline setting in here, but you know, I just think at a fundamental level, it's not that these guys don't like each other. It's not, you know, anything within the locker room. It's just that they don't fit together offensively.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, that's not good, because now he looks like he's going to be the top guy off the bench. If he can't play with Embiid, then what are we counting on that they can throw off the bench?
I mean, I think, like, off the bench, as tough as the season has been for him, when he has played with Ben and without Embiid, they have been good. And that is something they have not had in the past. They were a disaster. They were throwing Boban and Greg Monroe in the game last year. Like, I think there is reason to believe that in the playoffs, he will be a major upgrade on those guys, and those minutes won't be a disaster. The problem is they're paying him $28 million a year, and if, you know, it's playoff Embiid, what's that, 36 minutes a game?
Uh-huh.
You're paying $28 million for a guy who plays 12 minutes a game?
Uh-huh.
That's not the best use of your resources. And, you know, to this point, I have not seen him function with Embiid even well. I think even if you go back to that Nets game a few nights ago, you thought, okay, well, maybe, you know, with Simmons not being able to shoot, maybe him and Embiid will be able to function. No, they were a complete disaster. And I just don't know how that'll work. And yeah, they are, that's a big problem.
All right, the other guys make it actually more than $28 million. Only got off 10 shots. That's Tobias Harris. Now, he's your main offensive perimeter player, and he looked disengaged and sometimes does look disengaged. What's up? I know these are questions I'm answering that have no answer, but I'm just curious, they're like, what your eyes are seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tobias is, I mean, like, yeah, I think he's not a 20 or whatever he makes per year, over $30 million a year. He is a guy who's dependent on matchups, right? He likes to bully smaller players and get into the post. And he's a guy who doesn't get to the free throw line all that much. His 3-point shot, you know, I think he was a 40% shooter when he came over with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a lot worse. And I think that's kind of the main problem, not only with Horford, but just this entire team. The Sixers over the past couple years, they've added to the talent level from that original Covington, Dario, Redick team, but they've disregarded fit to a level that it makes it a lot harder for Simmons, but I think in particular for Embiid, to be the type of player that they need him to be. So, you know, I think Tobias, like, it's just a matter of, like, are those mid-range shots going in? And there are going to be nights when they aren't. And the Bucks, that's a really good defense they play. They pack the paint. But, I understand why you're underwhelmed. He was not good the other night.
Who starts tonight now without Ben? Are they going to go back to Neto over Burks or Shake Milton? And he did play Shake a lot in the end of that game. So what do you think is going to happen?
A great question. And I would also add that Tobias is questionable. He got dinged up with his knee in that game and didn't look all that great. I mean, it seems like he'll be able to fight through it. But I would guess that's a great question. I think Glenn Robinson will still, you know, be starting in place of Horford. I think they like him in terms of, like, he doesn't take a ton off the table. He's not a star by any means, but he's, like, a decent defender, and he should be able to make open catch-and-shoot shots. I might give Shake Milton the start tonight. Okay. I have not liked what I have seen from Neto. He is kind of a more pure point guard than Milton, but Shake can shoot, and you know, at this point, I would just consider trying to ride the hot hand, and he played a lot better.
All right, finally. Now, I hate this feeling I get, but I've been around for a while, and the vibe I get is that this team, they are what they are, and the playoffs aren't going to click something more special in. You follow the team, you cover the team. What's your feel?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to guess what the most likely scenario is, and look, if they get, I should say this before, if they get Ben back, I think there is an idea that they will be a better playoff team than a regular season team. They have shown kind of a high ceiling that when they're all locked in, they can do some pretty, you know, they can have some pretty strong performances. That said, I think the most likely scenario, even if they do get Ben back, is that they play Miami in the 4-5. Let's say they sneak through them because, like I said, they're able to raise their game. And then they lose to Milwaukee in the second round. I think that is easily the most likely scenario. And, you know, that's obviously not good enough. And, you know, I think on top of the kind of up and down regular season they've had, it will mean that there will be, you know, a decent amount of changes there this summer.
Including the coach. That happens. Including the coach?
I think that's the most likely one, but I would just say, you know, just kind of speculatively, like, mm-hmm. It's not just his fault.
I got you. All right, Rich. Listen, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike.
Rich Hoffman on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.